Hello, welcome to Options Talk with OIC. I'm Joe Burgoyne, Director of Retail Marketing for the Options Industry Council, and I'll be your host for this podcast series. OIC was created to educate investors and their financial advisors about the benefits and risks of exchange-traded equity options. We offer a variety of resources to those interested in learning more about options, including live seminars, webcasts, and podcasts. Today, and over the next few weeks, we're going to be talking about historical versus implied volatility, a topic that has a lot of layers to it, but is important to understand. Before we get started, let me state that options involve risk and are not suitable for all investors. You should not enter into an options transaction until you have read and understood the risk disclosure document, characteristics and risks of standardized options. This brochure is available by visiting www.optionseducation.org or by calling 1-888-OPTIONS. To keep things simple, commissions, fees, margin interest, and taxes have not been included in the examples used in this podcast. These costs will impact the outcome of all stock and options transactions and must be considered prior to entering into any transactions. Consult your tax advisor about any potential tax consequences. None of the information presented in this podcast should be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell a security or to provide investment advice. So let's get this conversation started about historical versus implied volatility. Here with me today is Todd Rich, Vice President of Sales and Marketing at the Boston Options Exchange. Todd, glad to see you here today.
Hi, Joe. Thank you very much for inviting me.
Todd, now what's your role at the Boston Options Exchange?
At Box, I am part of the business development team. I do spend a good part of my time going around with the OIC and educating retail customers.
Super. Again, thanks for joining us. And from OIC's call center, we have Bill Ryan, a senior specialist of investor services at the Options Clearing Corporation. Hi, Bill. What do you do there?
Hi, Joe. Well, I have one of the best jobs in the industry. I get to talk to investors about options and options trading. And I've been doing it for about 20 years now.
Wow. You've got a lot of experience.
It comes in handy.
I'm sure it does. Well, also glad that you can join us here today as well, Bill. Let's get the discussion going. Todd, understanding how volatility can impact an options position can be a daunting task for an investor. What do you think is the best way to begin to dissect this complex topic?
To begin with, I think it's very important to first define our terms. First, we have to understand what volatility is. Volatility represents price movement of an underlying stock over a period of time. Volatility does not measure direction. It does not measure trend. It only measures magnitude of changes. So there's no bias for up or down movement. Mathematically speaking, volatility itself is the annualized standard deviation of a change in a stock price represented as a percentage.
Okay. Now, you said a lot there. Can you one more time go through that just so our investors get that?
All right. And I'll try to, you want to get it all out there.
Right.
But volatility just measures or represents price fluctuation. It's whether it's moving, and it doesn't matter which direction it's moving, just if it's moving and how much it's moving.
Okay, good. Now, Bill, you know, I guess it sounds like we have up and down movements in options pricing. What's going on when the volatility is increasing and decreasing?
Well, volatility matters in options pricing. An increase in volatility will translate to higher option prices. Everything else being known or equal, a decrease in volatility results in lower option prices.
So the calls and the puts both go up with an increase in volatility?
With a significant move, they could both increase in value, yes.
Okay. And conversely, with decreasing volatility, both the call and put prices are going down.
They will decline, yes.
Okay.
You know, it's at this point, you know, I liked, people talk about volatility and we talk about it as movement in stock price. The other term you'll often hear to represent volatility is fear factor.
Right.
What it really sort of measures is uncertainty in the marketplace. When there is greater uncertainty or there's large quantities of fear, you'll tend to see volatility increase, in which case you'll see a corresponding increase in the premium levels of options. When there's less uncertainty, less fear, people are feeling more secure, you tend to see a decrease in volatility, in which you'll see a corresponding decrease in the premium levels of options.
That's common sense.
Not really. No.
I mean, more uncertainty, therefore higher premiums. It just seems to me like common sense.
It does seem like common sense until you start applying it to the world of options, and sometimes it can be a bit counterintuitive.
Okay. Well, you know, volatility, you talked about, you know, the different terms, and this segment is historical versus implied volatility. Todd, can you, you know, discuss maybe the distinction between the two?
Okay, and this is perfect. Again, it's always good to define your terms so that everyone's on the same page. So again, for some basic definitions, you will hear volatility, and then you'll hear it in different contexts. So you'll hear historical volatility, you'll hear expected volatility or implied volatility.
Which one do you want to start with?
Let's start with historical volatility because it's a known. Historical volatility is a measured, observed stock price fluctuation from the past. All right, so you can go back and see how much a stock price moved and the magnitude of those movements, and they can actually quantify it and say this is observable.
So a known stat.
It is a known stat. It's a fact. It
from
is not
the
a
past.
Prediction. From the past. Ergo, historical volatility.
Makes sense.
Now, the expected volatility or implied volatility is what you're expecting or hoping to see in the future. And that is a completely subjective number. So it's important to understand that even, and we'll get into this implied volatility, you'll see there's historical implied volatility and there's current condition implied volatility.
Okay, now when you say subjective, I guess in a way you're talking about what's expected in the marketplace, maybe out into the future with implied volatility, something like that?
You will see different implied volatilities at different points in the future. You know, in options, you've got your front month options, you've got your back month options, you've even got long-term options like leaps, and you might see different implied volatilities at different time points in the future.
Now, Bill, you know, with all that experience you have at the help desk and, you know, all the different investors who call you, how about, you know, some examples, if you, you know, about, you know, the implied and historic volatility questions you may get?
I think the best example of the impact that volatility has in the options markets is when we will have a call or an email from a trader wanting to know why their options contract behaved in the way it did. Why did it rise from this point to that point, or why did it decline from this point to that to another lower point? And knowing all of the factors that go into the pricing of an options contract, invariably the answer lies in a change in the volatility assumption.
I know when I first got started in the industry, I had that same question over and over and over again. You know, the stock would go up, and my option wouldn't go up.
Your call option would stay the same or actually even decline, even though your underlying stock rose in value.
Exactly. And it was driving me crazy trying to figure out what the heck's going on. I guess that's implied volatility. Is that right?
That's what implied volatility does. It measures, as Todd mentioned, uncertainty in the market. And perhaps
I saw this on the floor substantially.
Right.
The truth is, and earnings announcements is a perfect example. Other times would be potentially if the Federal Reserve was going to change interest rates or whatnot. But going into an earnings, there's uncertainty. No one knows what the company's going to say. Everyone wants to know what the company's numbers actually look like.
But there are expectations.
There are expectations. But the fact, there's expectations, but there's also a lot of uncertainty. Sure. Did the company do well? Did they hit their expectations? Did they do greater than their expectations? And so that uncertainty going into an earnings cycle, you would see implied volatility increase. You would see the premium levels in the options increase. And then the minute the numbers were out, the minute it became a known, and it was no longer uncertain, here's what the company did. They just reported that uncertainty factor would bring the volatility, the implied volatility down, and you would see the premium levels of the options come down. So as Bill had mentioned, a perfect example would be you buy some calls and you expect the stock to go up, and the stock does in fact go up, but at the same time implied volatility came down. Both of those are going to affect the price of your options. So it's not always just knowing the direction of a stock. It's also very much knowing what could happen with your implied volatility.
Boy, that's just a critically important point, Todd. You know, having a sense for that level of implied volatility in your option, and then also maybe anticipating where that implied volatility level is going to be after, you know, an announcement or maybe just over a period of time.
Absolutely. Whenever you're looking at options, it is useful to know what the implied volatility is looking like.
Okay. Well, guys, I appreciate, you know, your insight on this topic. I would like to explore this topic of implied volatility more, but that's all the time we have for today. Todd and Bill, I would like to invite you to come back next week to continue this conversation.
Todd? I'd be delighted to.
Bill?
Can't wait to come back.
Great. I hope you will join us next week for more on historical versus implied volatility with Todd, Bill, and myself. If you have any options-related questions, check out our website at www.optionseducation.org or call our help desk at 1-888-OPTIONS. If you have any feedback on the show, email us at options@theocc.com. I hope you will join us for part two of this show. Thanks for listening, and remember, a little options education goes a long way.